Ready to re-examine your assumptions and expand your inventory of ideas? More of Tavis Smiley coming your way right now.
After that conversation about black maternal health with Dr. Carla Williams, we close today's program with our resident physician, Dr. Robert Drummond, talking about a biased test that kept thousands of black folk from getting kidney transplants. Let me commence this conversation by saying, first of all, hello to our resident physician, Dr. Robert Drummond. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Man, if I complained, I'd be an ingrate. You know me. Glad to have you on. And I wish we were under different circumstances, but I was just saying earlier that this is why black media is so necessary and so relevant. Sometimes there are stories that we just don't hear about, issues that we ought to be made aware of that really aren't on our radar because ain't nobody else talking about them. So we got to talk about them. And so this is one of those things that I want us to talk about. So I'm going to pass the mic to you. Tell me about this study, this test that I referenced moments ago, that that kept a whole lot of black folk from getting kidney transplants, Dr. Drummond.
Right. Well, this has to do with the test called the EGFR, the estimated glomerular filtration rate. Like, Dr. Drummond, it's a bunch of big words. What does that mean? Well, in the kidneys, one of the main goals of the kidneys, and the kidney has a lot of functions. It's not just to produce urine. One of the main functions is to eliminate the toxins from our bodies, right? And so there's this equation that we use that basically creates something called the estimated glomerular filtration rate. The glomeruli are these small areas in the kidneys that are responsible for that filtration or to eliminating those toxins. And so they basically check the rate with which certain substances are able to move through that area. If they don't happen enough and there's too much of them in the body, then that leads to kidney failure. And I guess leads to a sign that something's going wrong with the kidneys. And so there's been this long-standing list, or should I say, long-standing myth that black people have more muscles and therefore our creatinine, which is basically a breakdown product of muscles, that creatinine is a little bit different than our counterparts. And so because of that, and because this equation uses creatinine and the filtration, the filtering of this creatinine, this substance, as a measure of kidney function, then they basically underestimated the level of kidney damage that black people had. And this has been going on for decades now.
How did that underestimation happen?
Well, I mean, it's basically within the equation. So right now we use the equation and the main things are, you know, what's the number for so that we have a creatinine number? That number can go from as low as 0.1 up to 20, mm-hmm. with the normal number being around 0.4 to 0.9 or so. And so what they basically did is they said, okay, well, we'll take that equation, which uses the individual's sex and individual's age, and then this other number, creatinine, and we'll put that into it to make, to basically give the filtration rate or the estimated, what's the function of the kidneys? Well, they had an entirely separate equation for black people. And so literally when we would get this, and especially when I trained back in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. you would have this equation. And even in the printout for your kidney function, it would have one number. And then they say, if black, there's another number. And so it basically just took the, if you put in black as part of the equation, so they added race, which again, as we know, is a social construct. There is no genetic basis for the term race. But if you add that in, then they basically gave you a different number, used a different equation, and basically lowered your score to make you appear healthier, which, again, is detrimental to individuals who are suffering from kidney disease who need these transplants.
Detrimental, with all due respect, ain't the word. It's more than detrimental. It's deadly. It's deadly. Let's invoke another D word. It's not just detrimental. It is indeed. But ultimately, it is deadly. I'm not being flippant in asking this question. You know me well, so you know why I'm asking this. You keep referring to they. They did this equation. They did this. They. Who is the they we're talking about?
You know, we can call them the gatekeepers. We can call them the people that make the decisions. In the end, it's the healthcare industry.
Yeah.
It's the decision makers within the healthcare industry. And in this case in particular, the individuals that are responsible for kidney health, right? And so the American Kidney Society and things like that. And so they have just agreed that, you know, hey, there's this longstanding notion that black people have more muscle mass. And so we should maybe alter that equation for them. And so when I say they, I do mean the gatekeepers, the individuals that are in charge of medicine, whoever that mysterious they may be.
Yeah. To your mind, given how long this process existed, was that a benign neglect? Was this, to your mind, intentional? I ask that because we just talked about Black Maternal Health with Dr. Carla Williams. We're going to be doing that for the next week as we celebrate Black Maternal Health Week and just try to get these issues out to the public. But we were talking, and no surprise to you, you and I have discussed this before in our conversations about the racism in the healthcare industry. The fact that that test could be underestimating Black people in this way for so long, and thereby denying Black people kidney transplants, thereby essentially killing Black people, was that intentional? Was it a misread? Was it a miscalculation? You tell me.
You know, I try not to be too much of a pessimist. I try to just be a straight shooter and call things like they are. And a lot of people are probably not going to like this. A lot of people don't like a lot of things that I say. I don't think that they were being pessimistic. I don't think they were being neglectful or intentionally neglectful, should I say, in doing this. I think that there were some small studies, and this goes into the importance of understanding research, right? Mm-hmm. So me as a physician scientist, my approach during the pandemic was very different than the average clinician. This goes into the importance of understanding the difference between a large study, a small study, a study with a large N, a study with that's done in a high-impact journal, et cetera. And so they took some smaller studies that showed maybe there was a difference in creatinine in African-Americans, and that's the reason we should have this equation be a little bit different for them. And so there was some, I guess you would say, clinical justification for this in terms of in the research or in the literature. But it wasn't very good research, as you can imagine. And so they took it and they ran with it. But I will say that I don't think that it was, you know, intentionally done for the purposes of, being neglectful. But, you know, the harm that was done is undeniable.
Yeah. When we come forward, I want to talk to you, since you mentioned studies, about Black people and studies. There are two reasons why I'm asking. I want to ask. One is because you raised it, as I said. Secondly, because I was in a meeting here at my local radio station here in L.A., my home station, KBLA, Talk 1580, in a meeting with Gary, who's our chief revenue officer. And he wanted to talk to me about a particular company who shall remain unnamed, obviously, that wanted to buy some time to get people to get our audience, certainly African-American people, to be engaged in a clinical study. It doesn't really matter what the study was about. The point is that they are trying to do some outreach, trying to find ways to reach an African-American audience to be engaged in these clinical studies. I think you see where I'm going. I got two or three questions I want to ask specifically about Black folk and the need for them to engage in these clinical studies. His name is Dr. Robert Drummond. I'm Tavis Smiley. More when we come forward.
Who do you trust to get at the truth?
Tavis Smiley. Smiley. Smiley.
That's who. The conversation continues right now.
All right, Dr. Robert Drummond, our resident physician. The question I posed moments ago, and that is this issue of Black folk and clinical trials, Black folk and these clinical studies. As I mentioned, I was in a meeting the other day here with Gary talking about a particular company that wanted to inquire about buying some time for outreach to an African-American audience regarding participating in clinical trials. I don't want to color the question much more than that, but I'm asking it in part because they had that equation wrong, and I'm not suggesting that more Black folk participating in a clinical trial might have helped them. I do not know, but I'm thinking of all these maladies that we face as a people, that we seem to be on the short list every time we have a conversation about some sort of health issue, health crisis, a health disparity. We're always pulling the short straw. And I wonder to what extent our being willing, our being open to participating in these clinical trials would make a difference, or is that something that you don't recommend that Black folk do?
Well, no, I think you hit the nail on the head when it comes to this. First, as it relates to, them using that equation, and did the low number of African-Americans in the trial make a difference? I think the answer is yes. I think that, and I can't recall the exact nature of the studies that they looked at, but the more individuals that you have participate across the entire spectrum of the population, mm-hmm. then the better and the more applicable to the entire population that study is going to be. When you have one group like African-Americans who don't like trials, understandably so, I will be the first one to always say I understand our history
yeah.
when it comes to what has been done to us in the medical in the field of biomedical research. So there is that very real apprehension that's there, but it does come at a detriment. It comes at a detriment, and that detriment is the ability of any information on how it's applicable to the entire population. So, yes, I 100% support individuals being involved in clinical trials, understanding that when a clinical trial is done, it is double blind. It's nothing that individuals are doing that's, oh, we're going to make sure we do this to the African-Americans and not this to the other individuals. It just doesn't work that way. We need more individuals from all backgrounds
yeah.
to participate in trials. The more homogenous that population is, the more that it reflects the actual general population, then the more applicable any results that you have from those trials is going to be in terms of treatment.
Yeah, this I'm listening to you talk, and this strikes me as one of those tricky and thorny issues. Because on the one hand, you're absolutely right about the fact that our distrust of these trials back to the Tuskegee experiment, and there are others, but our distrust of these clinical trials and these studies is as real as rain. Legitimately so. And on the other hand, I hear your point that if we don't take part in these clinical trials, then they don't have the information, the evidence, the research they need to help us overcome much of what we're up against. I guess the question is, what's to be done about that? How do we change the narrative? How do we convince our people that we benefit by being a part of these clinical studies?
Well, one of the first things that I think we can do, that you and I have been united in this front for the last 4 years, is just educating the public.
Yeah.
I mean, it starts with education. It starts with platforms like this, just getting the information out there in terms of the importance. You know, if I tell someone about that, hey, the kidney is important, and they're like, okay, that doesn't make sense to me. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I say, hey, the kidney doesn't just make urine. It regulates your blood pressure. It creates hormones that do other things in your body. It filters out all of your toxins. It also makes the protein that causes you to be able to create red blood cells. Like when you tell someone that information, they look at it different.
Yeah.
And so in terms of the importance of understanding why we need African-Americans participating in clinical trials, it starts by having national platforms like this to really get that information out. I think before it's all said and done, my biggest goal is to have a national platform in some way, form, or fashion to be able to just talk about health to our community.
Yeah.
That's a huge goal of mine.
Well, I'm glad you shared this one with me for the time being. And I'm here to support you in anything and everything you do. He is our resident physician, Dr. Robert Drummond. Our many moments with him when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.
For all the freedom-loving folk, this is Tavis Smiley.
I feel like freedom.
Smart talk for curious people just like you.
Just like you.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
Smiley.
Tavis Smiley and my resident physician, Dr. Robert Drummond, who I'm always humbled and honored to be in conversation with because I learn so much listening to him. Let me close with this. I was thinking during the break about the SAT test that I took many, many years ago now when I was trying to get out of high school and trying to get to college like all the rest of you of a certain age. I don't even know if they take SAT tests anymore. I don't know. But I recall taking it and all the drama that went along with trying to prepare for it and trying to do well on it. I did not know all those years ago, Dr. Jumbo, when I sat for the SAT, that test was racially biased in a variety of ways. In the years that followed, we have learned a great deal more, and they've done some work to try to adjust the questions and the way that test is given. But we know now what we didn't know then about the racial bias in those SAT tests that many of us took many, many years ago. Thank God I did well enough to get into college anyway, but I didn't know what I was up against when I took the test. You see where I'm going here. We've been talking in this hour about these thousands of black folk who were denied getting kidney transplants because of the test, essentially, that they took. What say you then, finally, to black folk in particular, about what level of trust they can have in the test broadly that they're given, that we are given today when it comes to our health?
Well, first, I'll say that when it comes to this test that we have right now, they have removed like race or ethnicity out of the test completely. And so that is just not there anymore. In addition, some places have actually used another thing, something called cystatin C, in addition to the creatinine, that is another byproduct that we all have that we can measure the filtration of, and it gives us more information. So the test today is more accurate and is void of any type of racial bias, et cetera. But that's not the case in some of the other tests in other fields. And so the great thing that I think that National Kidney Foundation did is that they did try to make amends. They pushed a lot of individuals, thousands of individuals up the ladder, and gave them credit for the time that they've already had kidney failure when they went back and looked at when was the first date that if we applied this new formula, you would have qualified, and they gave them credit for that time. So they did make amends there, but we still have a lot of work to do when it comes to health equity across the board in healthcare.
Well, I appreciate the honest answer and glad that the kidney Association did the right thing, ultimately pushing those black people higher up on the list. That's a beautiful thing, so we celebrate that. Dr. Drummond, as always, good to have you on the program. We'll do it again soon, my friend. All the best to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Good to have you on. We thank, again, Dr. Cornel West for choosing this platform earlier today to announce his vice presidential running mate. In case you have not heard, it is Dr. Malina Abdullah. But that story is out everywhere now. But you heard it first on Tavis Smiley. And until tomorrow, thanks for listening to Tavis Smiley. And as always, keep the